V-0. Unknown location. Tara squeezed Dan's hand tightly as they stepped into the elevator-like cylinder positioned underneath the enormous mothership that all but filled the cornfield. He reassured her that there was nothing to worry about, feeling confident that this was the case. His own concerns regarded how grave the problems on New Kerguelen might be, and how much the messengers might be expecting his arrival to achieve, but in terms of the journey and the way they would be treated, his mind couldn't have been more relaxed. An open-mouthed reaction of exactly the kind Dan expected crossed Tara's face as the total whiteness of the craft's vast entrance room hit her eyes like summer snow on a mountaintop kissed by the rays of a high noon sun.
"Is it all like this?" she asked.
"I've never been further inside than this one room," Dan admitted, hopeful that might change. "How long is the journey?" he then asked, turning to the messengers but speaking out loud. The reply, of course, came only in his mind, leaving it for him to relay it to Tara. This led to him asking the messengers if she could receive the same kind of neurological upgrade, if that was a remotely appropriate term, that the messengers had granted him. It would make things easier, primarily for Tara, so Dan was glad that they responded affirmatively. "They said you can get the same telepathy they gave me," he relayed. Tara shook her head.
"Thanks, but no thanks. If that's okay."
It was okay, the messengers assured Dan, and they were in fact pleased given that mind adaption, their term, was an intervention they didn't want to make unless it was absolutely necessary, as it had been to ensure they would remain able to stay in contact with Dan. Again, Dan relayed this to a relieved Tara.
"What did they say about the journey?" she asked.
"Oh yeah, they said it's not really a journey as we would consider it. We don't travel the whole distance in a linear way. There's some kind of portal near Earth and another one near New Kerguelen. They wouldn't tell me if they set those up. Apparently, the elders were adamant that information on things like interstellar travel were never to be shared with other races because of the potential for unintended consequences. And even with the elders dead, all of the aliens, even the squadron, still live by the core edicts that are ingrained in their minds. It's only new decisions that are causing problems and division because there's no one there to make them. I guess we'll see exactly what's going on when we get there." While Dan was speaking, one of the messengers had been holding its hands against a seemingly nondescript part of the wall, which was now revealed to house two reclined seats.
"Are those for us?" Tara asked. "We're just going to sit in here?"
One of the messengers nodded. It struck Dan only then that he hadn't heard their sing-song-like vocalizations for some time, with all of their communications having occurred silently both with him and amongst themselves. He attentively listened to the fuller answer the messengers delivered to Tara's question, knowing that it would be down to him to follow the familiar and somewhat frustrating pattern of passing the message on. Dan could well understand why Tara didn't want to be changed in the way he had been, but there was no denying it would have made their mission far more straightforward if she had accepted the upgrade. He did, however, take solace from the fact that the messengers hadn't suggested it, much less insisted upon it, as this made him think that it wouldn't necessarily have proven all that advantageous on New Kerguelen. "We are sitting out here," he said as soon as he had the full answer, "but we're basically going to fall asleep and wake up on New Kerguelen. They said we have to be suspended for the portal part of the journey, and they're going to do it right away. We won't feel a thing." Tara walked over to her semi-reclined chair, which had an odd angle of curvature, but in general terms wasn't a million miles from the kind of things she'd sat on in beauty spas from time to time. Upon sitting down, she was pleasantly and visibly surprised by the soft comfort it provided. Dan joined her on the other seat just a few feet to the side. It was comfortable, bringing to mind his usual seat on Timo Fiori's private jet. "Now what?" he asked out loud. In lieu of a direct answer, one of the messengers tapped the wall to bring forth an enclosing bubble of sorts, which extended from the wall to the floor with Dan and Tara on one side and everything else on the other. "I guess this is it," he said to Tara.
"Thanks for letting me come," she replied, turning to face him.
He likewise turned his head to look her way. "Are you joking? I always want you around. We all do." The last thing Dan saw before the light around him rapidly faded to black was Tara's warm smile. After that, there was only darkness.